It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. Good afternoon. This is Bill Carnes right here on the Second Amendment Radio Show. We like to call it 2A Radio. You can always go to the website at 2aradio.com. You can also check out my site at Bill Carnes, C-A-R-N-S, BillCarnes.com. We have a very common topic that we like to talk about here on 2A Radio. I enjoy it quite a bit. And that is all of the lies by our government, our employees, our elected and hired government employees that open their mouths and lie and deceive us. The ones in charge of protecting our liberties and freedoms first, and doing business with other governments and regulating interstate commerce second, third, fourth down the list. When what they're really doing is doing their very best to steal away from us our liberties and freedoms by lying to us constantly. The big lie of the last year and a half or so, maybe even close to 2 years, has been all of the violence in Mexico dealing with the drug cartels, all of their guns are coming from the United States through straw man purchases and being sold to gun runners that take them down and give them to the drug cartels. In fact, 90% of those guns, is what they claim, come from the U.S. And they insinuate that those guns that came from the U.S. came from people like you and I who bought them, sold them to gun runners who work for the drug cartels. And that is where all those guns are coming from. It's absolute lies. I've been telling you about this many, many, many times. It's 90% of the traced guns, 90% of the guns given to the ATF from the Mexican officials are traced back to the U.S. That's only about 12% of the entire amount of guns that they seize. Because of the guns given to the ATF that the Mexican officials seize from these arrests and shootouts and things such as that with these drug cartels, the vast majority of them are obviously not from the U.S. So the few, the small percentage that they actually give to the ATF to look at, which is about 13% of all of their guns, about 90% of those are traced back to the U.S. And the vast majority of those come through the State Department brokered sales. They are not these straw man purchases. Straw purchases are essentially, virtually non-existent when it comes to the percentage of these guns and the actual numbers. On top of that, these guns that were traced from 2008, which is the big year statistics, 2008 through 2009, the average age of that gun was 14 years old. So they were hardly straw man purchases purchased and then sent down to Mexico in recent years for the drug cartels. All lies. But of course, the lamestream media and others don't look into the truth behind it. They just take what the government says. And the government, as I have said many, many times before, you know when a government official is lying, there is a telltale sign. When anybody from any government official, any government office, any politician, we know when they're lying to us. And that is when there's a camera in front of them and they're speaking. It's a telltale sign. Well, U.S. State Department cables released by WikiLeaks confirmed that Mexican drug cartel weaponry is coming from an elaborate international operation whereby the cartels are acquiring military-grade arms through various government channels. This release comes on the heels of a report issued just last week and discussed on the National Sports Shooting Foundation, NSSF, blog just a couple days ago, from the Stratford Research Group, challenging the myth that 90% of the recovered firearms in Mexico come from the U.S. The Stratford report concludes that in 2008 the number was less than 12%. The WikiLeaks release raises an interesting new question. What portion of the 12% of the guns recovered in Mexico and traced back to the U.S. were originally sold at retail versus being sold by the U.S. government or lawfully exported under a license issued by the U.S. State Department? According to the cables, large quantities of U.S. government sold or lawfully exported rifles, machine guns, grenade launchers, and explosives, as well as ammunition, have been seized by Mexico's military and law enforcement during the cartel-related raids over the last several years. Though some of the weapons were sold or exported to other countries, many were sold directly to the Mexican government. In 2008 alone, Mexico received some $204 million in U.S. military shipments approved for exports. So just how are these weapons finding their way into the hands of the drug cartels? The State Department cables follow earlier reports that as many as 150,000 Mexican soldiers have recently defected to work for the drug cartels, bringing their American-made service-issued firearms with them. It has also been well documented that the drug cartels are illegally smuggling fully automatic firearms, grenades, and other weapons into Mexico from South and Central America. This according to a report by the Washington Post who investigated it. In summarizing the leaked cables, the Narcosphere News reported, it concluded that, quote, it is clear that there is a grand river of military-grade munitions flowing out of major gun factories in the U.S. and being exported globally, completely bypassing the mom-and-pop gun store. So all this does is confirm everything that we've been reporting here on 2A Radio for the better part of 2 years. We'll actually get to some real live, honest-to-God numbers. During this broadcast today, we're going to get into the Stratford Report. We're going to get into some of the actual numbers. Who's behind all of this? And really, we're able to very easily answer why the government is lying. The government wants to control your guns. They want to control you and your guns. Now, contrary to popular belief, the U.S. government has more tracking ability than almost any other government in the U.S. They know more about where the guns came from and where they are right now than most other governments in the world because of tracking and backdoor registration as well as outright registration. So, we're going to delve into the Stratford Report when we come back from the break. You're going to want to listen. And you're going to want to comment. You can always send comments to bill at 2aradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
And welcome back from the break. As promised, we're going to review over this Stratford report, S-T-R-A-T-F-O-R report, dealing with U.S. guns in Mexico. And all of the lies that the U.S. government is trying to get all of us to believe. For several years now, Stratfor has been closely watching developments in Mexico that relate to what we consider the three wars being waged. Those three wars are the wars between the various drug cartels, the war between the government and the cartels, and the war being waged against the citizens and businesses by the drug cartel criminals. In addition to watching tactical developments of the cartel wars on the ground and studying the dynamics of the conflict amongst the various warring factions, We've also been paying close attention to the ways that both the Mexican and U.S. governments have reacted to these developments. Perhaps one of the most interesting aspects to watch has been the way in which the Mexican government has tried to deflect responsibility for the cartel wars away from itself and onto the United States. According to the Mexican government, the cartel wars are not a result of corruption in Mexico or of economic or societal dynamics that leave many Mexicans that are just marginalized and desperate to find a way to make a living. Instead, the cartel wars are due to the insatiable American appetite for narcotics and the endless stream of guns that flow from the U.S. into Mexico that result in Mexican violence. That's what the Mexican government would like you to believe. That's what the U.S. government would like you to believe. Interestingly, the part of this argument pertaining to guns has been adopted by many politicians and government officials in the U.S. in recent years. It's now become quite common to hear U.S. officials confidently asserting that 90% of the weapons used by the Mexican drug cartels come from the United States. However, a close examination of the dynamics of the cartel wars in Mexico and of how the often echoed 90% numbers were reached clearly demonstrates that the number is more political rhetoric than actual fact. Okay, by the numbers. As we've discussed in previous discussions we've had here, the 90% number was derived from a June 2009 U.S. Government Accountability Office, the GAO, as they reported to Congress on U.S. efforts to combat arms trafficking to Mexico. According to the GAO report, some 30,000 firearms were seized from criminals by Mexican authorities in 2008. Of these 30,000 firearms, information pertaining to 7,200 of them, 24%, was submitted to the U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, ATF, for tracing. Of these 7,200 guns, only about 4,000 could be traced by the ATF. And of these 4,000, some 3,480, or 87%, were shown to have come from the U.S. So, again, of the 30,000 guns seized, 3,480 were shown to have come from the U.S. That's 12%, not 90. This means that 87% figure relates to the number of weapons submitted by the Mexican government to the ATF that could be successfully traced and not from the total number of weapons seized by Mexican authorities or even from the total number of weapons submitted to the ATF for tracing. In fact, the 3,480 guns positively traced to the U.S. equals less than 12% of the total arms seized in Mexico in 2008 and less than 48% of all of those submitted by the Mexican government to the ATF for tracing. This means that almost 90% of the guns seized in Mexico in 2008 were not traced back to the United States. So the numbers that the government is using is the exact opposite. The remaining 22,800 firearms seized by Mexican authorities in 2008 were not traced for a variety of reasons. In addition to factors such as bureaucratic barriers and negligence, many of the weapons seized by the Mexican authorities either did not bear serial numbers or have had their serial numbers altered or obliterated. It's also important to understand that the Mexican authorities simply don't bother to submit some classes of weapons to the ATF for tracing. Why? Because such weapons include firearms they identified as coming from their own military or police forces, or guns that they can trace back themselves as being sold through the Mexican Defense Department's Arms and Ammunition Marketing Division, the UCAM. UCAM. Likewise, they do not ask ATF to trace military ordnances from third countries like South Korean fragmentation grenades commonly used in cartel attacks. Of course, some of, or even many, of the 22,800 firearms Mexicans did not submit to ATF for tracing may have originated in the U.S., but according to the figures presented by the GAO, there's no evidence to support the assertion that 90% of the guns used by the Mexican cartels come from the U.S. especially when not even 50% of those that were submitted for tracing were ultimately found to be from U.S. origin. Now, this point leads us to consider the types of weapons used by the Mexican cartels and where they come from. Types and sources of guns. Okay, to gain an understanding of the dynamics of the gun flow inside of Mexico, it helps if anybody would actually divide the guns seized by Mexican authorities from criminals into three broad categories, which, incidentally, just happen to represent three different sources. One, guns legally available in Mexico. Okay, so that first type, the first category of weapons encountered in Mexico is weapons available legally for sale in Mexico through UCAM. These include handguns smaller than a .357 Magnum, such as .380s and .38 Specials, .22s. A large portion of this first type of gun is used by criminals, is purchased in Mexico or stolen from their legitimate owners. While UCAM does have very strict regulations for civilians to purchase guns, criminals will use straw purchasers to obtain firearms from UCAM or obtain them from corrupt officials. Now, cartel hitmen in Mexico usually use .380 pistols equipped with sound suppressors in their assassinations. In many cases, these pistols are purchased in Mexico, the suppressors are locally manufactured, and the guns are adapted to receive the suppressors by Mexican gunsmiths. Now, here's another thing to be noted, though, that because of the cost and hassle of purchasing guns in Mexico, many of the guns in this category are purchased in the U.S. and then smuggled into the country. There are a lot of cheap guns available on the U.S. market, and they can be sold at a premium in Mexico. These are generally stolen guns, stolen in the U.S., and then make their way across the Mexican border, not straw purchases. Indeed, guns in this category, such as .380 pistols and .22 caliber rifles and pistols, are among the most common guns traced back to the U.S. Still, the numbers do not indicate that 90% of the guns in this category come from the U.S. When they are traced back, the average age is 14 years old. Additionally, most of the explosives the cartels have been using in improvised explosive devices, or IEDs, in Mexico, in Mexico over the past years, have been commercially available, such as Tovex. So we consider these explosives to fall into the first category. Mexican IEDs are another area where the rhetoric has been interesting to analyze, but we'll explore this topic another time. The Type 2 guns are the guns legally available in the U.S., but not in Mexico. And we'll get to those after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. And you're listening live right here on 2A Radio.
Attention all long-range precision riflemen and long-distance shooting hunters. Come and join other like-minded long-range riflemen this April for the Bill Carnes 2A Radio Precision Rifle Course being held just outside Las Vegas, Nevada. This is your chance to put your gear to the test and perfect your long-range rifle shooting skills. Think of it as Sniper 101. We'll be collecting repeatable data from 100 yards out to 1,000 yards and beyond. Imagine having confirmed repeatable data for your rifle and the round you choose in 50-yard increments out to the furthest limit of your trajectories. You'll learn the secrets of the proper way to clean and maintain your precision rifle for extended life and accuracy well beyond your expectations. You'll also have the opportunity to shoot a .50 caliber sniper rifle and hit a target at 1 mile. To find out more, go to victoryshoot.org. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Visit victoryshoot.org today. That's victoryshoot.org.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Again, this is Bill Carnes with Second Amendment Radio. We like to call that 2A Radio, shorten it down. 2aradio.com is a website. We are going through the Stratfor Report, dealing with the lies and BS that the federal government is trying to force down our throats, and the lamestream media is perpetuating by saying 90% of the guns seized from Mexican criminals were straw purchases out of the United States. Total lies. So we talked about the Type 1 guns. Those are the guns legally available in Mexico. There's not a whole bunch of them that are, but it's a Type 1 gun. The second type of gun, we're going to call it, the Type 2 guns, are legally available in the U.S., but not in Mexico. We're talking legally available to the average person, okay, without any special permits. Now, many of the popular handgun calibers, such as 9mm, 45, 40 Smith & Wesson, are reserved for the military and police and are not available for sale to civilians in Mexico. Now, these guns, which are legally sold and very popular in the U.S., comprise the second category, the Type 2 guns, which also include 50 caliber rifles, semi-automatic versions of things such as the AK-47, AR-15s, FN-57 pistols, the like. When we consider this second type of gun, a large number of them encountered in Mexico are likely purchased in the U.S., according to reports. Indeed, the GAO report notes that many of the guns most commonly traced back to the U.S. fall into this Type 2 category. There are also many 45 caliber, 9mm semi-automatic pistols, 357 revolvers, obtained from deserters from the Mexican military and police, purchased from corrupt Mexican authorities, or even brought in from South America, which would be guns made by manufacturers such as Taurus or Bersa. This category also includes semi-automatic variants of other rifles, assault rifles, main battle rifles, which are often converted by Mexican gunsmiths to be capable of firing fully automatic. One can buy these types of weapons in the international arms market, but one pays a premium for such guns, and it is cheaper and easier to simply buy them from other sources and smuggle them into Mexico, be it from the U.S., South, or Central America. In fact, there's an entire cottage industry that has developed, a very small niche cottage industry, according to this report, that has developed to smuggle such weapons, and not all of the customers are cartel hitmen. There are many Mexican citizens who own guns in calibers such as 45, 9mm, 40, 44 Magnum for other reasons, self-defense, even though such guns are illegal in Mexico. Now, let's get to the Type 3 guns, where the rubber meets the road. These are guns not available for civilian purchase in the U.S. or Mexico. So the third category of weapons encountered in Mexico is military-grade ordnance, not generally available for sale in the U.S. or Mexico. This category includes hand grenades, 40mm grenades, rocket-propelled grenades, automatic rifles, assault rifles, and main battle rifles, and light machine guns. Of this third type of weapon, it's fairly difficult and very expensive to obtain in the United States, especially in the large numbers in which the cartels are employing them. They're also dangerous to obtain in the U.S. due to heavy law enforcement scrutiny. Therefore, most of the military ordnance used by the Mexican cartels come from other sources, such as the international arms market, increasingly from China via the same network that furnishes precursor chemicals for narcotics manufacturing, heavily used in Mexico, or from corrupt elements right there inside the Mexican military, or even deserters who take their weapons with them. Besides items such as South Korean fragmentation grenades and RPG-7s, often used by the cartels, they're simply not in the U.S. arsenal. This means that very few of the weapons in this category come from the U.S. In recent years, the cartels, especially their enforcer groups such as Las Zetas or Gente Nueva and La Liena, have been increasingly using military weapons instead of sporting arms. A close examination of the seized arms from the enforcer groups and their training camps clearly demonstrate this trend towards military ordnance, including many weapons not readily available in the United States. Some of these seizures have included M60 machine guns and hundreds of 40mm grenades obtained from the military arsenals of countries like Guatemala. But Guatemala is not the only source of these kinds of weapons. Latin America is awash in weapons that were shipped over there in the past several decades to supply the various insurgencies and counterinsurgencies in the region. When these military-grade weapons are combined with the rampant corruption in the entire region, they quickly find their way into the black arms market. The Mexican cartels have supply chain contacts that help move narcotics to Mexico from South America, and they're able to use the same network to obtain guns from the black market in South and Central America and smuggle them into Mexico. While there are many weapons in this category that were manufactured in the U.S., the overwhelming majority of the U.S. manufactured weapons of this third type encountered Mexico, like LAW rockets and M60 machine guns, come into Mexico from third countries and not directly from the United States. However, they're included in guns traced back to the U.S. because that's where they originated many years ago. There are also some cases of overlap between the different classes of weapons. For example, the FN 5.7 pistols available for commercial purposes in the U.S. But the 5.7x28 armor-piercing ammunition for the pistol favored by the cartels is not readily available. It's generally a restricted item. However, some of the Special Operations Forces units in the Mexican military are issued the 5.7 as well as the FNP-90 personal defense weapon, which also shoots the 5.7x28 round. And the cartels are obtaining some of these weapons and the armor-piercing ammunition from them and not the United States, both through corruption and through desertion. Conversely, we see bulk 5.56mm and 7.62mm ammunition bought in the U.S. and smuggled into Mexico, where it's used in full-auto AK-47s and M16s purchased elsewhere, or again, from deserters of the Mexican military. Now, as noted, China has become an increasingly common source for military weapons like grenades and fully automatic assault rifles in recent years. To really understand Mexico's gun problem, however, it's necessary to recognize that the same economic law of supply and demand that fuels drug smuggling into the U.S. also fuels gun smuggling into Mexico. Black market guns in Mexico can fetch up to 300% of their normal purchase price, a profit margin rivaling the narcotics of the cartels that the cartels sell. Even if it were somehow possible to hermetically seal the U.S.-Mexican border and shut off all the guns coming from the U.S., and the cartels would still be able to obtain weapons elsewhere, just as narcotics would continue to flow into the United States from other places other than Mexico. The United States does provide cheap and easy access to certain types of weapons and ammunition, but as demonstrated by groups such as the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, weapons can be easily obtained from other sources via the black arms market, albeit at a higher price. We'll get into more of this after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
Folks, there's been a very clear and long, well-documented history of arms smuggling into Mexico from the U.S. and other countries. But it's important to recognize that while the U.S. is a significant source of certain classes of weapons and ammunition, and by significant source I mean double-digit percentages, a little over 10%, it by no means is a source of 90% of the weapons used by the Mexican cartels, as is commonly asserted. In fact, it's about 90% of the guns are not from the U.S. About 10% are, and many of them were simply manufactured in the U.S. but never smuggled into Mexico. They either sold to Mexico or sold to other countries, other parties in other countries, and eventually smuggled into Mexico, and that's inclusive of the so-called 90% of guns that the U.S. government wants us to believe. Why is it that I keep bringing this up? Because this is a tool to try to gain public sympathy for gun control and registration. Oh, the poor Mexicans are dying by the hundreds because people in the United States are going to gun stores, buying guns, and selling them to these members of these smuggling groups down with the cartel members. They're smuggling them back across the border. Absolute BS. Total bull. Absolute lies. But if the sheeple will begin to think along these lines, the government can try to enact emergency legislation, as they like to call it, to subvert our rights, freedoms, and liberties. And subject the Second Amendment to not being a part of the Constitution at all, but to being kind of an annual line item that they can decide what to do with. That's why we stay on this. That's all these lies trying to get our guns. Moving on. Texas is preparing to pass a bill to allow guns on college campuses, as happens in Utah and a couple of other states, Colorado. Texas is poised to approve a measure allowing college students and professors to carry guns on campuses, an initiative with strong support in the state legislature that critics concede they probably can't stop. The legislation has been championed by Governor Rick Perry, Slick Rick, as they like to call him, co-sponsored by over half of the lawmakers in the state house, and approved 2 years ago in the Senate. Texas would follow Utah and Colorado, as states that have similar laws. Quote, it's strictly a matter of self-defense, says State Senator Jeffrey Wentworth, a Republican, who told the Associated Press, I don't ever want to see a repeat on a college campus what happened at Virginia Tech, where some deranged, suicidal madman goes into a building and is able to pick off totally defenseless kids like sitting ducks. Now, the measure support commonly argue that it would make campus shootings less likely, wading into key points of contention between opponents and proponents of looser gun control. College leaders across the nation have criticized the idea as dangerous, dismissing the view that filling up the classrooms and dorm rooms with weapons would make inhabitants safer. Okay. What they want is they want to have a gun-free zone so nobody can bring a gun, except for the criminals that want to have unabashed, no problems in killing as many people as they want because they know it's a gun-free zone. Nobody can defend themselves. Glenn Johnson, Oklahoma's Chancellor of High Education, envisioned, quote, no scenario where allowing concealed weapons on college campuses will do anything other than create a more dangerous environment for students, faculty, staff, and visitors. Okay, well, that's the scumbag in charge of the higher education in Oklahoma. I wonder what the higher education czar in Utah and Colorado would say to that. They don't have these problems, and you can carry there. That the Texas legislature overwhelmingly disagreed is a testament to the state's gun culture as well as the towering political influence of pro-gun lobby. Things do look bleak, says Colin Goodard of the Brady Campaign Against Gun Violence and to Screw Every American Out of Being Able to Own, Possess, or Use a Gun. I believe that's her official name. Who was in Austin lobbying against the bill. He told the Associated Press, people want to be the hero. I understand that. They play video games and they think they understand the reality. It's nothing like that. Really? He's believing that people that believe in the... When the Founding Fathers put together their Second Amendment, were they thinking about being the hero in a video game? We're in the process of restoring the Second Amendment. Restoring it. We're not creating something new. And for Colin Goodard to make such a retarded, ridiculous, mongoloid brain statement just makes me sit back and realize, my God, we're actually dealing with people like this. We actually have to deal with this sort of ineptitude, this sort of ridiculous-minded human being in this country, the United States, on a regular, daily basis. What an idiotic scumbag. They play video games and think they understand the reality. It's nothing like that. When the Second Amendment was put into the Bill of Rights by the Founding Fathers, it wasn't about video games. They had fought for the War of Independence, fought against the Crown in England. Had nothing to do with video games, you pathetic jackass. Nationwide, the NRA and other gun rights groups have in the last two decades outspent gun control advocates by over 20-1, according to this report on lobbying, according to the Center for Responsive Politics. And Texas ranks 32nd on the list of states with most permissive gun laws, a 23rd in per capita gun deaths, according to data compiled by the Daily Beast, which is a liberal think tank. So, that's what we're dealing with in Texas. Let's hope that goes through. Now, here's one for the record books. Modesto, California is an area, it's a suburb of San Francisco. Incredibly liberal. I mean, unmercifully liberal. If you have a college degree and you live in Modesto, you probably got it from Berkeley. Well, here's the deal. A neighborhood, large area neighborhood with association dues, are considering hiring armed guards to cut down on crime. Residents in a Modesto, California neighborhood are so concerned about crime, they may bring in armed security guards. The residents are members of the College Area Neighborhood Alliance. Here's a quote. I don't know the feeling on an armed patrol. That may be becoming a little bit drastic, said one neighbor, Davy Jones. I don't feel the need for it yet. So he doesn't think they need to be armed. Now, residents would first need to approve the plan and bring in armed security guards, and at least 500 residents will have to pay a $25 a month fee for the patrol. So, evidently, there's not enough cops around there doing anything. And these sissies, rather than arming themselves, would like to hire it out to rent-a-cops to cut down on the crime. Now, what type of crime are they experiencing? Some vandalism, mostly, mind you, in the form of graffiti. That's what they're dealing with in this neighborhood. Mostly graffiti. Some burglaries. Some property damage, property crime. But because they won't get off of their plush, liberal, feminized asses and handle the situation themselves, starting with good parenting. They're looking to pay money out of their own pockets to have security guys driving around in their little cars. Some sort of, I don't know, probably a golf cart or something. Who knows? So far, some people have talked about armed guards, but many of the residents are too sissified to even consider allowing them to have guns. Oh, I don't know about that. What sort of a ladyboy do you have to be? What kind of a girly man are you that you can't get together with the other neighbors? See, you know, I'm tired of this. I am not putting up with it. You know what I do in my neighborhood? I live on a cul-de-sac, small cul-de-sac. There's like 9 or 10 houses on it. If I see cars driving around to the end of the street and back down, and I live about in the middle, a little further towards the back end, I stop the people and I ask, who are you and what are you doing on my street? These little girly men in Modesto don't have it in them to do that. Sissies. Thanks for staying tuned, guys. We'll be back tomorrow.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com. I will not.